Hi, my name is Willie, and before I get started, I'd like to do this. Haven't had a spiritual awakening. As a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive debtors and practice these principles in all our affairs. Hi, my name is Willie, and I am a debtor. My home group is the Monday Night BDA Group, Pasadena, California. I have not incurred any unsecured debts since September of 1992. Also would like to personally thank the Chair Sharon, the Planning Committee, and Jonathan, one of the speaker coordinators, for asking me to do this. I also want to welcome all of the first timers at this World Service Conference. I know what it was like when it was my first time. A shout out to Scout, who is the first time who is representing our home group. So, theme of this conference is sponsorship, carry the message, be one and have one. But before I get into the theme, I like to first say, tell you what it was like, how I got here, and what it's like today. I came into 12-step recovery about 35 years ago. But before that, I would like to tell you what it was like growing up. I was born and raised in a little small town in Texas, Galveston, Texas. And that was many, 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 many years ago. And it's a little town. My father was a painting contractor and a laborer. And my mom was stay-at-home mom, and periodically she would go out and work to get a job just to incur, just for a short period of time, just make enough debt for my dad to try to repair. And I guess that's where it started for me. In case you don't notice, I like to tell you that Galveston is where I got this perfect tan. I call it my Texas tan. So if you want one like I have, you should have been born in Galveston like I was. So any event, I just like to share that a little bit. I can remember my first debting was back many years. I must have been 6, 5, 6, 7, 8 years old, whenever you can get a library. And I got a library card, and when I got that card, my mom would take me, we would check out these books. And at that time, when I got the card and checked out those books, I swore then in my mind, in my heart and in my mind, that I would get the books back on time, and that I would bring them on time and not keep them over time. When it gets to that day, I'd say I got till tomorrow. The day to do back, I got another day. And pretty soon, the day has passed for me to take them back. And I say, oh, well, I'm already late. And just typical debt and thinking, I'm already late. What's the difference? And the fines kept growing. And I did that so many times till they just snatched my library card. The second piece, I want to share this. If you notice, I said I'm a debtor. I didn't say I was somebody who was who got a problem with money. I didn't say that I just think too much. I told you I was a debtor. Some of us show shame to be a debtor, but that's what this 12-step program is. It's called Debtors Anonymous. It's not called Shame is Anonymous or I got a problem with money. If you got a problem with money, then maybe go find a program that says, hey, this program is a problem with money program. But Debtors Anonymous says that, we share our, this is Debtors Anonymous, and we share our experience, strength, and hope. And that's what it's all about. A little bit further, I just want to share that I at about teenage years, I wanted this fancy stereo, and then I had my aunt sign for it. And she signed for it, and I could not, I just could not, when he came to pay the bill, this is my favorite aunt. She would feed me when my mom went home. And when it come time to pay the bill, like one more time, it's just like the library books. I swore at the time I bought that stereo that I was going to pay it and didn't. The next thing was at 20 years old, I bought a house, my first home. Same thing, they come took it after about 3 years. And then I think the thing that bothered me the most was my youngest sister. She's 9 years young, I'm 10 years younger. And I was in the record business then, and we were producing this group, and I didn't save enough to buy a PA system, and she signed for the PA system. And what happened, just like everything else, it came time for me to pay the bill, and I didn't, and they charged the money and took the funds out of her checking account, out of her first job. Now, she was raised by my mom, who was a single mom because my father passed away when my youngest sister was 9 and I was 19 going on 20. So that's the kind of hurt and the kind of damage that we do to each other when we debt. Debting is a deadly disease. It kills us because it kills our spirit, and it kills our ability to think and act in a rational manner. So I'm going to tell you a little bit more how I got here. I came to my first 12-step, like I told you, in March of 1987. And it didn't take my sponsor then long to recognize I had a problem. So she told me, why don't you go down to, there's a DA meeting that they have down on Wilshire, and it's in a bank building. Well, hell, if you're a debtor like me, you wasn't going near no banks, because the only thing you felt about banks was that, hey, you were either bouncing checks, or they wouldn't open you another account because you had such a bad record of check bouncing, or the IRS or one of the agencies was debiting your account. So I'd say, I ain't going to that. Bank had a taboo for me. I don't want to go in that place. That's scary. So what I did was waited about 5 years until I put some Miracle-Gro on these debts, and they grew from like minimum to, when I got here, I had $44,000 in debt, $70,000 in a construction loan, and 5 years unfiled tax returns. And some of you guys know what kind of work I do. It's probably just falling out your seats now. So anyhow, that's how I got here. And when I got here, you know, the first thing, the theme of this program is called the World Service Sponsorship, Carry the Message, and Have One. So I kind of believe in the five S's of recovery. The very first one is sponsorship. So why do we need a sponsor? We need a sponsor to guide us through this program, walk through steps. You wouldn't go to the safari on a hunting trip without a guide with you. Why would you be so stupid to try to go to these rooms without a sponsor? You know, you can have the sponsor I had is this idiot that you're looking at right now, who got me here, or you can get somebody who's sane and sensible and loving enough to take you through the 12 steps. And you say, why do we need this 12 step? We need to work the 12 steps to achieve the spiritual awakening that is mentioned in step 12 that I talked about. Now, the next S is service. We perform service because we can't keep this marvelous gift unless we give it away. The next thing is, I feel, is sobriety, or in California, we call it abstinence. And that is freedom from the bondage of debt. And the last S, I feel, the fifth S is a sane and peaceful state of mind and being. So those are what I consider my five S's of recovery. Now.
That's the first 10 minutes, Willie.
That's the first 10, great. Okay, how did I get here? You know, I went to my very first meeting. I got a sponsor at the very first meeting. And I heard about PRGs. And so what my sponsor told me, and hopefully yours is giving you the same kind of direction, is that you don't do a PRG until you at least put together these six weeks of numbers. So what is that? How do you keep your numbers? Well, you get a little book, like this book, I guess it's showing up there, this little book, and you write down everything you spend. Now, you can't see it. My camera's not picking it up because it's written in blue. But you write down everything you spent, and then you keep it in after about 6 to 8 weeks of numbers. You get together a man and a woman and ask them to have a PRG. So what's a PRG? A pressure relief group. And we used to call them, we call them pressure relief groups then. They think they call pressure relief meetings. But he did not tell me, and I'll share this with you, that so much is going on in these rooms today that what I call quasi-debting is when I want to buy a house. And so when I want to do a PRG, I start looking for a real estate agent and an accountant to help me do that. Hell, that ain't what they say we do here. Say, this is two members who have the experience. And I could get a truck driver and a janitor to guide me through to do my PRG because they have the experience if they've been in these rooms for a while. And when I go out and start looking for specialized people to do this thing, well, I'm doing the same thing I was doing when I was steady. I'm actually looking for something for nothing because I'm asking a professional to share their experience with me, their work experience with me for nothing. So when you need experience, just trust your HP, trust God, as I call it. And when you come out of that group, the spirits you're going to have and the encouragement that you get is going to be very different than what you go in, you're trying to control the situation. You know, that's who we are as debtors. We are actually really controllers as well as we suffer from this disease of impatience. I want what I want and I want it right now. And that's not good. That's what gets us here. So we have to trust, and we trust the knowledge and the experience of those who've come before us so that they can guide us in a manner to help us achieve this goal of serenity. Serenity, a sane and peaceful state of mind. Not the insane nights and things that we stay up with, or in my particular case, my biggest part of my disease was buying fancy cars and keeping them for a while and not pay the note, and they come repossess it. Oh, I'd buy my fancy car and I'd ride all through Compton. I was in Compton, that game. Yeah, I'd ride all through Compton and lean in, you know, with the gangster lean and ride through the streets. And I'd ride for 3 or 4 days and they come pick up that bad boy. And I lived in the hood, so they asked me about, what happened to your car, man? They said, oh man, these guys stole my car. I could get away with it then, but that's what it was like. Debting is something that can kill us. And it either kill you by worrying and grieving, or you put yourself in situations that you end up either get sick or dying and as a result of it. Now, let me talk about what happened when I got here. I got here and I got busy. I came to my first, well, let me talk about my home group. Well, I went to the big Saturday, 5 years later, I went to a Saturday meeting, and it was in early September 1992. And that's when I got my sponsor, and after a couple of weeks, so I didn't debt anymore, but I don't want to act like I was such a great program worker that I didn't debt. I didn't debt because nobody would have let me debt. So my debting stopped because I just couldn't get anymore. I had gone to the consumer credit counseling and they say, man, your situation's so bad, we can't help you. So that forced me to come into the rooms of Debtors Anonymous. Like I said, I got a sponsor. I started doing the work. It was a small group in Larchmont that was behind a bank. And for some reason by then I chose my fear of going inside of a bank building. I chose recovery over my fear of going inside of the bank building. That's how far down that I had come. And let me tell you a couple of things that happened when I got here. I got the little book that they told me to get, this little book. I start keeping my numbers. I start calling my creditors. And one called me back and said, well, Mr. Williams, we understand your situation. So we'll remove all the interest. Another one said, Mr. Williams, we understand it, so you can just pay so-and-so. And man, I felt pretty good. And then I went into, I had gone on a trip one week, and I got back home and my wife told me that, hey, you know, the hot water heater went out. And a lot of people in my group like to hear this story. The hot water heater went out. I said, the hot water went out. And when I got back, I probably had $145 and some cents in my checking account. I had just gotten here. And so I just got into the room. So the very next morning, I got up and I went over to a big retailer and looked at the hot water heaters, and the cheapest one there was about $300. And the lady said, well, if you can't afford one of ours, then go to another place, we'll close it down. There's another store that's half our discount. I mean, that has some of our products. Check with them. So the next morning I went over to this hardware store now, and it had these hot water heaters outside there. And I'm walking around and I must have looked like I had that I need a hot water, because I was looking at these hot water heaters, and this guy, salesperson, came up to me and said, Mister, you look like you're looking for a hot water heater. I said, yes, but I can't afford any of these. You got one is too small, it's made for a trailer. The next one that you got here is a 10-gallon one, and I can't use that one. Then you got a 50-gallon one, I mean 75-gallon one, that's way too big, and it's $600, and I can't afford that. He said, why don't you make us an offer? So I go inside and I make this. He said, let me call the manager. Call the manager. I said, hey, it said, I see you got this hot water heater outside and you have $600-some-odd salvage price on it. And so they say, yeah, we have this thing. Say, well, don't you make us an offer? I said, I offer you $145. And I'm getting ready to walk out the store and think that they say, oh, this idiot just out of his mind. And the lady said, wow, thank you. Look like you got yourself a hot water heater. Duh. And I looked and she said, well, okay, it's $145 plus sales tax and stuff. And I said, ma'am, but you guys had taught me not to spend more than I have. I said, ma'am, I only have $145 and some odd cents in my account. And so I can't pay more than that. So she said, you got it. So I got a friend, she's shaking in my boots. I got a friend, I say that, I know they think I'm an imposter, something's gonna happen before I get this hot water heater loaded. I got the hot water heater loaded and I got it all installed. And oh man, I had my strut. I'm strutting. I'm a DA member. I'm working this program. Look at the stuff that's coming out of this when we do what you ask us to do. So that was one of the first miracles that happened.
That's the second 10 minutes, Willie.
Second 10 minutes. Okay. Now I'm going to talk about some of the things that else happened in the room. I had been in another 12-step program where I had just come back from that World Service conference, and I went to Albuquerque for my first DA conference in the year 2000. And I got there early, like I always would do, and I just started helping out and help stamping programs and whatever stuff they had me do. And I just got to know some of the guys. And if you, my first World Service Conference was just like you guys' World Service Conference. I didn't have a clue what I was doing, but I just showed up, and a guy home group that I had noticed in the LA Inner Group or so was there with me, and he kind of walked me through the process. My first committee, the VDA caucus, and the conference. I don't know if the conference committee was a caucus then or still a committee yet, but I know I joined it. And I asked so many questions in it until they made me chair the next year. So anyhow, in 2002, I came back to New York, and in New York, we were in the peak of a lot of stuff going on in the program. But in New York, the conference committee, out of that meeting, that Jan S. was there, Deborah C., Alan, who was from Sacramento. Who else was in that group? Deborah, Alan, myself. Four or five of us that was out in that room all became board members later. And while I was on, before I get to the board. Okay. And in the year of 2002, when I was elected chair of that committee, and I also was chair of some other caucus, I believe, I put together they didn't call it a Jay's Scholarship Fund, but it is now named John A. Scholarship Fund. And the reason I did that was to make sure we had some of the groups like my group, we did enough fundraising to fund me. But some of the smaller groups didn't have the funds. So we wanted to help some of the other DRs get to the conference. And so that was the purpose of the John Henderson Scholarship Fund. And when I introduced that to the board, and they actually made it as a recommendation, that that's what we have going now. And shortly after then, they asked me to come on the board. And I came on with a dear friend of mine. And that's why I got this, my hat. I have hair on here, guys, in case you don't know it. But you're so used to seeing me with a hat on. So that's why I got one on. And my friend who went on the board with me, Ashlyn from San Francisco, we both wear hats a lot. You ever see Ashlyn, you would always see her with hats. And when I went on the board, I saw a lot happen. River was the chair when I went, and she also was a bookkeeper and kept the records for the fellowship. And boy, did she do an excellent job. She and Carolyn, while we were in the first face-to-face, stayed up all night long, straightening out the books and straightening out things and crediting to make sure that our financials were in order. That was a time this whole organization was deading, you know, and it's somehow early Pioneers River being one of them helped get us beyond that. then I we did later on at after then we also later during my time on the board, there was a member, I think I saw her earlier today, from New York, who had a literary background, to actually copyrighted all of our literature. We then also put together a contract to have write the first 12. And I actually signed the contract. Carol was chair at the time. So then in my final year, we put together that it was Gene from New York, my dear friend Paul S., put, and myself and Alexandra, she's from New York too. We on top of doing everything else at the time, we spent the time because we wanted to have the delegates to have some guide when they come to the conference. So we put together that, I think you guys call it DAMS, and we did all of the footwork. And my dear friend Jan, who Maureen mentioned at the beginning, finished it up and had it ready for us. And they called me. All of them showed me the picture of the work we had done at his next conference. I thought I could get through this without feeling that, but I got to be with him the day before he passed away. And he was in this nursing home, and he said, what about the promises? He said, we will have with the 10th or 11th, and say, talks about this rich life. Willie, can you push me around these grounds? I can show you the rich life. Here's a guy who came here with in pain. His house had burned down and everything. And he put it all back together and did so much work on the history of this fellowship that we all get to enjoy. And that was, so we had a meeting, which I feel was his last meeting that Saturday before I left. And his wife called me the next day and said he was gone. So, if I used to belong to a fellowship, they say that the friends you meet in this fellowship was special. The friends you meet here in DA is special. I'm gonna run down a list of some of the people I got to serve with. That was Jimmy from San Francisco, because I mentioned my friend Ashton, Paul S. down in North Carolina, Deborah C., Jan S., Robert from the Washington area, Peggy R., I shouldn't call his name, but this, my service sponsor, had been a trustee at AA, so he helped me through things. Robert, Alan from Sacramento, then Alan we just talked about. Then there was another Alan who helped do the website from Chicago, Chris from Houston, Phoenix from New Mexico, Jeff from Cleveland, James from Long Beach, Jan J from Chicago, I mentioned Jean and Alexandra, Carolyn from Washington, Carla and Carol, and Howard was the office manager. And we felt that how could we have a conference without getting the information from the office? So I brought to the board a resolution, let's bring the office manager to the conference each year so he could give us an up-to-date report on what's going on with Debtors Anonymous. So I'm a bear with me. I want to read something here. I didn't read everything that I need to hear, but there's one thing that I want to share with you guys before I leave. And please don't go before I do. And this was part of my last talk. I'll read this, it may take me a minute and a half. Finally, please remember what I refer to as the three C's of service. The first C is courage. The 12 steps have given us the courage to say how we feel. The second C is compassion. the 12th tradition have given us compassion to listen, to listen to your point of view, even if it's different from mine. When we add up the courage that we have been gained by working the 12 steps and the compassion we have, we come to know through the 12th tradition, we develop an extraordinary degree of character. And I want to say to you and thank you enough for the love and growth and the impact that each and every one of you have had in my life. I want to leave you with this statement with much gratitude. And this is something that I wrote. It'd be nice if we're not all together, but it's so good when we chant it together. This is something I wrote just in my last thing. It said, it's up to me to keep DA alive. It's up to me to reach out my hand to the newcomer. It's up to me to be of service. It's up to me to carry the message to the debtor who still suffers. It's up to me to protect DA's unity. It's up to me to practice these principles in all my affairs. Therefore, it's up to me to keep DA alive. Thank each and every one of you for being this 12-step called upon me. I love you.
Thank you, Willie. That was so wonderful. And make sure you read all the chats because there's a lot of personal messages in there for you. Thank you very much.